Would you please stand? How awesome is this place? This is not alone the house of God.
This is the gate of heaven.
Session one. Our thrilling voice is sound.
Welcome, everybody, to the Church of the Ascension this morning. The beginning of a new year in the Christian calendar is taking place today on this first Sunday in Advent. We welcome all visitors, especially our brother and sister, members from Mara Hamlet. The choir from Mara Hamlet are helping leading the singing today. And we are also pleased and delighted to have Mr. William Kelly with us, who was responsible for carrying out and overseeing much of the work that took place at the entrance, the new entrance to the hall. Welcome, of course, also to any others present who are visitors. And we are delighted to have among us the Bishop, the Right Reverend David MacLay, accompanied on this occasion, as I think he has on every occasion he's been here, by his wife, Mrs. Hilary MacLay. We begin with the dedication of the work that has taken place here over recent months and years, the expansion and development of facilities here at church, and also the attention given to the church windows, and more recently, the development of a new entrance into the parochial hall grounds, which I believe if they haven't already, will in due course give us that feeling of safety in crossing the roads. There will still be need for care, but I think we'll be safer doing it. So I invite the Bishop to come forward and we'll proceed with the dedication. Give the Lord the glory due to his name. Enter his courts with an offering.
On behalf of the people, I offer you their labour and service in maintaining and developing the fabric of our buildings and access to them, and ask you to dedicate this and all our work to the glory of God.
My first words, I want to be words of thanks to those who have enabled this work to happen through their generosity, through their giving, and through their involvement in the life and work of this church and parish. Also, the workmen involved, we thank them as well for the work that they've undertaken. We remain standing, if you can, as we pray. Almighty Father, Lord of heaven and earth, be pleased to accept these offerings of your servants for the advancement of this church and parish, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Grant that what neither art nor costliness can make worthy for your service may be hallowed by your blessing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the faith of Jesus Christ and for the benefit of his holy church, we offer and dedicate these works to the glory of God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, without whom no word or work of ours availeth, but who dost accept the gifts of our hands for the service and beautifying of thy sanctuary, have respect unto the prayers of us thy servants, as we dedicate these works to thy glory and to the advancement of thy kingdom. Accept and consecrate them, we pray thee, ever to be employed for the service of thy church and the honour of thy holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. Please kneel or be seated for prayer. We pray together. Almighty God,
Almighty God,
to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent, for for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. For today. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty, to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life of mortal through him who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
The epistle is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Jesus Christ. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Advent marks the beginning of the church year. It is a time for reflection in darkness, for renewal of hope, and for a movement towards a beginning. It is a season of expectation and preparation as the Church prepares to celebrate the coming of Christ. Today, church decorations are simple and sparse, and purple is the traditional colour used. Advent falls at the darkest time of the year, and the natural symbols of darkness and light are powerfully at work throughout Advent. And this Advent wreath beside me, it's as usual a circle of greenery with five candles rising from it. Four candles on the outside that are purple, sometimes one is pink, and the candle in the middle is white. The candles are lit in the same order each week, so that by the fourth week the candles have burnt down by different amounts. So, symbolically, we will mark this first Sunday in Advent by lighting one candle, and others will follow. Young members of the congregation, I see some gifts up here already. Maybe you've given them already. If not, would you like to do that now? No, everyone has. No, here's anybody else? Great.
It doesn't seem like it's been a whole year since we were last here. It's been a very busy year, but thank you again for welcoming me along this morning and my little helper this morning as well. As I say, it's been a busy year for Stara and I this year. We continue to provide counselling and therapeutic support to children across Northern Ireland who've been affected by trauma and abuse. And this year we've been working as far away as Ballymena, Newry, and Lurgan and Portadown and Craigavon. So we've been all over the place this year, and we continue to get referrals in nearly every week asking us to support new children and their families. So at Christmas time, it's nice to take a bit of time to reflect. And as you can imagine, these children that we're working with have had very difficult years. So it's lovely to be able to give all of them an extra Christmas present at Christmas time. And we're quite a small organisation, we wouldn't be able to do that without your support in providing the gifts. So we're very thankful for that. While a Christmas present doesn't change everything for a child, it does certainly let them know that people are thinking about them and people care about them, and that can't be understated, the impact of that. So thank you. Over the next year, we'll be continuing on with our work, continuing to work with children across Northern Ireland. And as I say, we're having referrals in every week at the minute, so hopefully we'll be able to continue to support those children over the next year. So on behalf of myself and the other members of Stara and I, we just wanted to say thank you again for your ongoing support. It means so much to us, and we hope you have a lovely Christmas.
Thank you, Ruth. The gradual hymn, after which the young people may withdraw for Sunday school, "Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus." Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Mark, chapter 13, beginning at verse 24.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates.
Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the gospel of the Lord.
And now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm so pleased to be with you this morning, on this frosty morning. It's a real joy to be here with you. I think, actually, I've been in this parish church probably more often than in any other parish church in the diocese, despite the 2 years of COVID that followed 6 weeks after my consecration. So it's really good to be back with you this morning, and I'd like to begin by just thanking those again who have been involved in making possible the work that has happened around the church building, the facilities that have been provided, and also the new entrance to the hall and the work that's been done in other ways. Thank you to the Select Vestry. Thank you to each and to every one of you. And thank you to the Rector for his pastoral care and work in the parish. I always stay with the set Bible readings of the day, and I'm doing that again this morning. And for a few moments, we'll look at those verses of Paul's in the first letter to the church at Corinth, the epistle reading for this morning. This church at Corinth, it was founded about 20 years after the resurrection of Jesus. We're told more about its foundation in the book of Acts, particularly in chapter 18. And these verses, I do believe, have something significant to say to the church today. This church, first of all, was founded by one person. That is very obvious. It was founded by the Apostle Paul. One person, each of us, you and I, can make a real difference. When our lives are committed to Jesus Christ, when we're committed to enabling others understand the good news of the gospel and come to know Christ, then each of our lives, your life and my life, can count. Paul writes, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul has a deep love for God. His life had been transformed miraculously by the Lord Jesus, and he loves the church, and his life is making a difference. This morning, I want us to really hammer that nail home, as it were, that you can make a real difference, that I can make a real difference, that one person can make a significant difference. This one person, Paul, left Athens, went to Corinth, and his whole city was transformed, and a church and a movement of the gospel began in that city. The people in Corinth, like all of us, have access to God's grace and God's goodness and God's kindness and God's mercy. His kindness is very real towards us. His forgiveness is available to cleanse us, the Holy Spirit to renew and bring life to us, his gifts to equip us to live lives as disciples and as followers of Jesus Christ. I give thanks, Paul writes, to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church has all that the church needs, actually. We sometimes think, if only we had, if only we could. But we actually have all that we need. We have the knowledge of God. We know who God the Father is. He's our Creator and the one who gave his Son for our redemption. We have the Son, the Lord Jesus, who paid the price for our forgiveness. We have the Holy Spirit, who gives life day and daily to his church. We have God's grace, God's goodness towards us. We have his word in the scriptures. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the gospel message that transforms lives and even communities and nations. Ours is to embrace God's challenge and God's invitation to follow him, to be disciples who make disciples of others. And so, on this Advent Sunday, the 3rd of December, 2023, as we take stock, because it's good on the first Sunday of a new calendar year of our church to take stock, we have much to learn from these few verses. Now, I want to say some things this morning that I think we really, in many places, need to hear. Church life is very, very different today than what it was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, or 10 years ago. We're living in a very, very different culture. A culture that around us is no longer really a Christian culture. It's described as a post-Christian era in which you and I now are living and in which the church finds itself. Christian moral values around family life are no longer the norm. Church attendance is no longer such as it was when I was a boy and a young person and even a young adult. You opened the doors, you did what you always did, and you were guaranteed that people would come. That day, friends, is well and truly gone. It really is. People, for the most part, apart from the very faithful for you, have to be sought out. They've got to receive personal invitations. They've got to be encouraged to come along. And they've got to be persuaded that there is something that will make a difference to them and to their lives and to the lives of their family. Many people, most people actually, in our society today are one or two or three or more generations away from church attendance. So there's a challenge that lies ahead. Now, one of the things that I think is a wonderful picture that you've done, you've created a new entrance that's safe, a new entrance that says, welcome. As I said gently to the church warden at the beginning, we now need to help people to cross over the entrance and to become part of our worshiping community. One of our priorities as a diocese in this season, and there's three, but I'm just going to mention one, is the priority of discipleship, making new disciples, strengthening existing disciples. And so every church needs a way in for new members. Now, what might that look like? Well, there are different courses that you can choose. I'm not going to recommend any particular one, but there are different courses that can be provided to which people can be invited along and have it explained to them clearly who Jesus is, why he died, does God heal today, can we hear God's voice,
Does church make any difference in today's world? Those are the sort of questions that people out there actually are still asking, and they need the church to provide the answers. Also, those groups in so many places, actually, then when the group comes to the end of its 6 weeks or 10 weeks, depending on the course, they then become a little group that often come along to church together and often actually form a little study group within that church. Our task is to point people to Jesus Christ. That's the reason that this church is here. That's why you need an entrance, so that you can point people to Jesus Christ, that you can help people experience the goodness of God, the grace of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God, the presence of God, the reality of God in daily living. And when a church sets about that, that church actually always grows. The message Paul proclaimed was the message of the cross. It was a challenging message. We read further on in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the same chapter, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So that's the ministry on this Advent Sunday that the church is entrusted with afresh, to prepare a bride, to prepare a people for the Lord's return. Advent Sunday reminds us of that so, so clearly. Indeed, the gospel reading challenges us to make sure that we're awake and that we're ready for his return. Probably 3 weeks ago now, maybe four, Hilary and I were in the parish of Mullingar. I'd been invited by the rector to preach on that particular Sunday and was with him in Mullingar. He actually is a man who's 77. He was allowed to remain on 2 years longer than the rest of us will be allowed to stay on. And because he was leading a renewal campaign, as it were, that was reaching particularly a group of young people. And on that Sunday, a very traditional church setting. I actually said recently in another place, everything doesn't have to be happy-clappy. There's nothing wrong with being happy-clappy, but it doesn't have to be. You simply need to be able to gather people in. There were about 300 in church that particular Sunday morning in a very traditional context in the town of Mullingar. The following Sunday, there was a service that was particularly focused on grandparents and grandchildren. All the grandchildren in the place, everybody on the baptismal register going back, had been issued with invitations to invite their grandparents. And grandparents had been issued with invitations to invite their grandchildren. And I'm told again that on that Sunday, the church was well filled. Last Sunday, because I was in touch with the rector during the week, they launched their Sunday school for this new church year. They launched it last year. And they had more children last Sunday than in 2019 before COVID. In fact, they had twice the numbers of children and a whole new batch of teachers. We really do need, as our gospel reading tells us, to be awake and to stay awake. Now, the problem with being asleep is this. Think about it for a moment. When I'm asleep, I don't know I'm asleep. I need somebody to wake me up. And I would be failing you as bishop. I really would be failing you as bishop if I didn't alert you to a few realities this morning on this Advent Sunday. The church that doesn't proactively go after the ones out there dies. We're living in an age when people just don't come to church because granny or even mum and dad came to church. Where's the children, the young people? The church needs a strategy to reach those beyond our walls. and I've checked your census figures, the last government census figures, and they are out there. They are out there. And we simply need to be going after them. So let me suggest a few things, or otherwise, the congregation that was 109 and then became 99, then became 79, then became 59, 49, 39, 29, will become 19 and 9. And then what? Well, I'm not going to suggest what. But it's a direction of travel that none of us want to. And I want to suggest none of us need to go, actually. I'm full of hope, believe it or not, for the church. And I'm determined that we enable churches to turn around decline. And on this Advent Sunday, I want to challenge you to actually grasp the opportunity that still is available, but there's only a very narrow window of opportunity available for us to turn things around. Paul is clear. The message of Advent is clear. Jesus will return for his church, for his bride, for his people. And if we don't do it, he will raise up others who will. He will raise up others from other traditions and from other denominations who will. But let's do it in the Church of Ireland. Let's be a people who raise up the next generation and make disciples of the next generation. Let's not just blame society, but let's determine that we'll speak into society and transform society. There's a number of practical things that I think we can set about doing. Every single one of us, proactively, inviting people along to the next special event that happens here in this church. Every single one of us working with the rector to ensure that there's a regular ongoing, that church in Mullingar, every 2 weeks since COVID, has had something by way of a special focus, from grandparents to children to the Sunday I was there, it was those who'd been involved in wars, past wars. There was a little boy of about 10 years of age who was wearing the medals of his great-grandfather, creatively drawing in those beyond our walls. Now, I understand that when we get to a certain age, some of us don't have, including myself, quite the same energy that we used to have, perhaps. But where we can't do it ourselves, we do in many places need to employ somebody who will work alongside the rector in this work, an outreach worker, a family worker, someone who will actually go out and knock all the doors 3 or 4 times a year, someone who will then bring people in and who will help to organize special services to which the folks are brought into, so that there is different focus groups that are being met and invited and loved on by the presence of God and the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this place. You might think the bishop has lost it. Maybe he has. Maybe he has. But I don't think so. Don't think so. Because I am seeing where places are embracing the challenge, digging deep into their pockets to make it happen, recognizing that there's a very narrow window of opportunity, and setting about it, not doing what you've always done because you'll get the same results, but actually doing some things, plural, that will, and you don't have to change your style of worship very radically at all. You simply need to bring in the ones that are out there. The grace of God reaches towards them, and the grace of God has reached towards us. And if we are a truly thankful people, we will above all else, and above everything else, want to ensure that the faith is passed on to the generations coming after us. Let us pray. Lord God, on this Advent Sunday, on this first Sunday of a new church year, Lord, I do pray that you would help us to really grapple with the opportunities that are available to your church in this day and in this generation. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to labor and not to look for any reward, save that we know we are doing your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Would you please stand? We respond to the ministry of God's word by affirming our faith. We believe in one God. The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The prayers will be led by members of the congregation. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith.
O God of Advent hope, hear the prayers which we offer in faith. Enter our hearts this day. We pray for this diocese and for David our bishop, for this group of parishes and the parish of Castlewellan and Kilcoo, and the minister in charge, the Reverend Pat Kerr. As we worship, bring our prayers and our praise to you. As we light the candle of hope in our hearts, may we hold a small flickering flame throughout this week. We also pray for the diocese's various mission links, especially with Multan in Pakistan, Santiago in Chile, and Meridi in South Sudan. May the flame of Jesus Christ's love stay within us and be close by us.
Light the flame of hope in our hearts.
God, we thank you for this time of Advent to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Christ child. The small baby born in a lowly stable, who was Christ the King, Christ our Saviour. The mornings have recently been chilly and the cold and early frosts of winter. As we wake and look at the swirling misty hills, fields and valleys, such views bring us hope. Confirm our hope that your creation is always turning, and we can have certainty in its glory and beauty throughout the seasons.
Light the flame of hope in our hearts.
O God of mist swirling in the elements, You brought the mystery of the Christ child to earth. You sent us hope of his coming, the hope of the star that pointed the way, the hope that brought the shepherds and the wise men. Come, Advent God, and be in the hearts of Charles, our King, the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, Secretary of State, Chris Hayton-Harris, and the government, as well as among those seeking peaceful solutions where there is conflict, particularly in Gaza and Ukraine.
Light the flame of hope in our hearts.
O Lord, though you have given us great hope, at times we doubt. We know our faith is weakened by challenging events in our lives. Sadness and despair drown all hope as the tears fall, and we are washed away in the floods and torrents of regret and fear. Forgive us and give us renewed strength for our weakness. We pray for those in need, especially those who are ill or who are recovering from sickness, and also those experiencing difficulties during the present spell of cold weather.
May we follow the Advent star.
Forgive us, Lord, when we become too immersed in the hurly-burly of Christmas. Forgive us when we become stressed about all the preparations. And forgive us if we become overwhelmed by all we feel expected to do.
May we follow the Advent star.
We are truly sorry that at times we lack faith, we lose hope, we do not hold onto your way, and we stumble on our journey towards the stable.
May we follow the Advent star.
Teach us to be more like the wise men who never doubted the journey they had to make following the star. Teach us to be humble like the shepherds who heard the song of the angels.
May we follow the Advent star. Lord of eternity, we remember those who have departed in peace and come into the glorious light of eternity. Bind us together by your Holy Spirit in communion with all who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom.
Amen.
Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you very much. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his blood, through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
Tender mercy of our God, the day spring from on high shall break upon us, to give light to them who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let's greet one another with a sign of peace.
The offertory hymn, Thou Art Coming, O My Saviour.
Many have given thanks to you. He said, he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We celebrate the redemption he has won for us. We proclaim his perfect sacrifice made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. And we look for his coming to fulfill all things according to your will. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Renew us by your Holy Spirit. Unite us in the body of your Son. And bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, with whom and in whom, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of never-ending praise.
Blessings and honor and glory are yours forever and ever. Amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to sing. Thank you.
God, our deliverer, awaken our hearts to prepare the way for the advent of your Son, that, with minds purified by the grace of his coming, we may serve you faithfully all our days, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God,
we thank you for feeding us
with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.
Friends, as we move and journey through the season of Advent, my prayer is that you will know God's presence in your homes over this Advent season, and that you'll have a really blessed Christmas season as well. Can I say that in terms of all that I've been trying to share this morning, that the diocese really does want to come behind you in all of this. We, for example, have a four-week course that someone called Keith Gardner can put together on the whole subject of generosity, which we're delivering across the diocese, sort of replaces the old stewardship campaign of decades ago, and gives that a relevance to the church today. Our youth officer would be very happy to come and to work with helping you establish youth work or children's work. Our children's officer would be very happy to help with that as well. Simply ask us, and we'll come and we'll do what we can. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, gladden your hearts, and scatter the darkness from before you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Immediately following this service, there will be light refreshments served in the parochial hall in support of Christian Aid, and I do encourage you to come across and continue the fellowship this morning in less formal surroundings. This afternoon at 3:30 in Mara Hamlet, there will be an Advent service of carols and readings. Again, both choirs will be involved in leading the singing at that service, and it would be lovely to continue our worship today in that setting. And again, the bishop will be the preacher. On Tuesday evening, we were to have had our Mother's Union party. That, unfortunately, has had to be postponed on account of the illness of our Honorary Secretary and also the indisposition of Karen, the music therapist, who was to lead the entertainment. So, regrettably, that has had to be postponed. So the Mother's Union party on Tuesday will not now take place. However, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock in Ocreda Parish Church, the Mother's Union Advent Carol service will take place there. The Bowling Club meets on Wednesday and Saturday at 8 o'clock. Thursday, joint choir practice here in church at 8 o'clock. Sunday next, the second Sunday in Advent, Sunday school will meet as normal during church. The service next Sunday will be morning prayer at 10 o'clock. Looking a little bit ahead, on Sunday the 17th of December, at 3 o'clock there will be the traditional festival of nine lessons and carols, the music being led by our joint choir and also by the children of Annahilt Primary School. The mayor hopes to be present, and there will be light seasonal refreshments afterwards in the hall. And at 7 o'clock that evening, the United Carol service between Mara Hamlet Parish, Mara Hamlet Presbyterian and Spa Presbyterian is being revived, with the singing being led by all the denominations. And Annahilt parishioners and friends are cordially invited to that occasion as well. Christmas Eve this year falls on a Sunday at 8 o'clock, sorry, at 10 o'clock. There will be a family christingle service with Bailey's Mills Accordion Band joining us and taking part. And at 11:15 on Christmas Eve evening, there will be the First Communion of Christmas and family service on Christmas morning at 10 o'clock. Full details of all the services over Christmas are included in this month's parish magazine, which is currently being distributed and in the post. The recessional hymn, "Lo, he comes with clouds descending."
Thank you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.